This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio. And at 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. About 4:20 or a little after, we'll have on with us the man himself, Deuce McAllister, our Saints color analyst, and he'll be talking about the Saints as they go up against the Falcons, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. And at 5:20, Odyssey betting insider Brad Evans joins us to give his picks on the games this week. And I think at 6:20, Mike Conte. You've heard the name before. Mike worked here for so many years and then went to the ATL, and he works for 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. He'll be talking about Saints-Falcons showdown. If you were listening to Steve and the Flash, he gave you a little bit of the injury report, and we'll go over it, but let me give you the transactions that happened today. Eric McCoy, who underwent surgery at the Andrews Institute out in Gulf Breeze, Florida, he was placed on injured reserve, and the Saints activated veteran Shane Lemieux from the practice squad up into the 53-man roster. So we talked about this the last 2 days. That was a more likely scenario to have Shane be activated from that roster. He's got experience, certainly. Man, he's a guy that was a good player with the Giants, just couldn't stay healthy. Played 18 games, and he started 12 of the 18. It's just that they couldn't keep him healthy. And so he'll fill in at guard. He has played some center, and we saw it in the preseason, but it wasn't real smooth. So what they did do is sign Chris Reed, the old veteran from Minnesota State. I remember scouting him coming out of Minnesota State. He's 32 years old. He was a left tackle in college, and also he was a Division II All-American, throwing the hammer and the shot. But a little bit smallish for the tackle position, went undrafted and has played, came out in 2015. He's played for the Jaguars, the Miami Dolphins, the Carolina Panthers, the Indianapolis Colts, the Minnesota Vikings, and Houston Texans. So he got a lot of W-2s on that resume. He's played in 70 NFL games and has started 30. And he has played, Chris has played both center and guard. So you bring in a guy, he was put on the practice squad, 32 years old, so he's got some experience in this league, and man, he's played in every system you can imagine when you read off all those names of teams he's played on, and you trust him. He knows what to do out on the field. So they go out and sign Chris Reed, the old veteran, 32 years old, who has had experience playing in the NFL at both center and guard, and Shane Lemieux, who was with this team, certainly in all the practice sessions and in the preseason. Played mostly guard, but we did see him stint at center, and it was not real smooth. So most likely this week, Lucas Patrick again will play that center position. Missing practice today, and Steve brought it up, not only just Eric McCoy, but Alvin Kamara with a rib injury and also a hip flexor. Cesar Ruiz, and we thought initially it might be an ankle injury, but they're listing it as a knee injury. Alante Taylor was out with an illness. Demario Davis was watching. But man, Demario, you talk about a warrior. I think he's missed one game since he signed with the Saints, and I think that was a COVID issue. Other than that, man, he's answered the bell. And last year, he had a pretty significant knee injury, and yet he played. Man, he answers the bell. He's that type of guy. The good news is Taysom Hill and Colin Saunders both at practice today, and Dennis Allen brought up that he expects Taysom Hill to play. We'll see how well Colin Saunders comes around from the injury that he sustained, and this was even before the regular season. He had a calf injury. And so he is nursing the calf injury. And so, again, who did not practice, Alante Taylor, Demario Davis, Alvin Kamara, Cesar Ruiz, all out of today's practice. Landon Young was limited with the foot injury, and that was like that last week also. So a lot of guys, and we talked about it yesterday on Sports Talk, that the injury list would be pretty full. For Atlanta, Caleb McGarry, did not practice with the knee injury, and we already know that Drew Dolman, their starting center, on injured reserve, and so he'll miss at least 4 weeks. Dennis Allen did comment when there was a question about Eric McCoy, how long you think he may be out. He wouldn't speculate, and it's real early in the process. Some guys come back a little quicker than others, but when they tell you 6 to 8 weeks, especially for a big man with that groin injury, it's normally the high side. It's more the eight. I'm not saying he can't come back in six, but normally it's the high side of it with that. And also, too, Christian Boyd, the Saints defensive tackle, was fined $4,600 on the hit on Devontae Smith that he had a concussion on. So Christian Boyd was fined by the NFL. No penalty on the play, but he was fined $4,600. From the NFL. We'll talk to Deuce a lot more about the upcoming game against the Falcons. We'll go to break, and we come back. Deuce McAllister will join us right here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelle along with Cullen Steele in studio and on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line. Color analyst for the New Orleans Saints right here on the Big 870, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Not a problem at all, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Hey, I didn't see your name on that injury list, so I guess maybe horse didn't hit you hard, right?
Yeah, no, I got cleared right before, so yeah, I'm good. I'm good to go. I did had to see the doc last 2 days, but you know, all checked out, and I didn't make the injury list. I mean, but man, is it a lot of important guys on there?
Man, it looks like the all-star team for the Saints. Right off the bat, I'll ask you about the center position. We talked to Mark Schlereff about this yesterday, and, you know, Mark played so many years in the NFL at guard. He was like, man, my guy agreed with you. It's such an important position. It's where everything starts, and you got to have the snap right. But also it's the communication ability of the center because, you know, we all know it goes down the line. The center makes the calls. He gives it to the two guards. The two guards give it to the two tackles. And if you got a tight end and you're playing in those bunch sets, that you know, everybody's passing it off. And you also, the key guy, if there's somebody coming up the middle, because a lot of it, what you see today, is a little bit of a delay blitz, and they come right up the shoot on you to get after the quarterback. Such an important position. And losing McCoy is huge because he was playing so well, Deuce. I mean, he was playing at a Pro Bowl level at that center position. And now you got to reshuffle the lineup. And, you know, a lot of people were bringing it up. Well, just move Cesar Ruiz to center. And my deal is, okay, he's hurt too. He's got a knee injury. You can't do that this week with him nursing the knee injury. So Lucas Patrick most likely will stay at that center spot. And them signing Shane Lemieux, so it'll be a two-part question a little bit. What you saw of Shane Lemieux out in California practicing, and secondly, the importance of that center spot.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think, you know, when you really talk about it, I'm fine with Shane at center because it puts the onus back up Lucas at the guard position. I mean, because with Shane, I'm replacing one player. If I'm moving Lucas to center, then now I have to put a new guard in. And so it becomes, which player do I have the most confidence in? And we know Shane will be up as far as available on Sunday. The only question is, which direction do the Saints go? Right. Here's probably what hurt them as well. I know Udo came in and he did a pretty good job at that guard spot, or at least, you know, best as possible. you didn't have Landon Young. Landon Young was a healthy player for you, but Landon didn't practice the whole week. And so he should be available as far as practice to participate this week. And so that gives you the option to say, I feel better about, you know, moving Lucas to the center position and Landon Young being my guy at guard. And, you know, that's how we're going to roll. If that's not working, then yes, I can move Lucas back to the guard position. Shane, you're my my center, and you kind of go with it from there. The part that I think hurt the Saints the most, there were looks that the Eagles showed up in that I think that they spent a little time on, but not a lot of time on. And it would have been a lot easier if your center is there, and now I can pass some calls down, whether we're going to triple this look, whether I want to pin pull this look, whether I want to, you know, whatever the call may have been from the center. It's a lot tougher for Lucas to make that call to say, hey, you know, Caesar, I want you to block down. I'm going to pull instead of everybody being in one-on-one situation. And so I think they should be able to adapt a lot better this week with not losing your center in, you know, snap number three and those guys having the ability to practice the whole week together. And, you know, from a communication standpoint, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I believe. This is what I want to go with. And the backs being on the same page. And the other part about the Eagles game, the strength of that defense was the tackles.
Man.
Those two, both of those guys are first-round guys, high first-round guys. That was the strength of those defense. And, you know, you knew that they would do something different than what they've done the previous week. And, you know, they did a good enough job where they were able to disrupt us up front that you couldn't get any consistency for your offense. Because when you go back and look at the film, there are some holes in that defense. We just didn't have enough time to hit them.
Deuce, one of the things, getting Taysom Hill back, and we heard Dennis Allen talk about it today. They expect him to play, and he's another huge piece of the puzzle because he plays so many positions. We got a text to write, Mike, can he play center? Said, no, he can't play center, but he can play everywhere else across the front, so to speak. And I think, man, when you think about the Falcons, the strength of their defense is right up the gut, too, with Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. So you know they're gonna see that on film. They're gonna try to attack that particular area, but they got troubles along the offensive line. Dolman is on injured reserve for them, their starting center, and McGrady. He didn't practice today because of the right knee sprain. So who knows if he'll play or not? I don't know if my count's exactly right, but I counted 14 starting offensive linemen went down to injuries this weekend, Deuce. 14. It's something I did a study on a couple years back, and tackles, guard, centers, it was 1, 2, 3. They get hurt the most of any spot out on the football field. 14 guys, starters, that went down to an injury in, you know, this week goes to show you, man, this game ain't for the meek. Okay, this ain't Al Bundy at Pokai. Okay, this is a real McCoy here. But the addition of Taysom Hill to the lineup, I think that's a big plus for this football team.
Yeah, I mean, we had three starters go down in our game alone. You know, yeah. Eric McCoy and then the right tackle and the right guard for the Eagles. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. The other two, I mean, you talk about five the Atlanta because they lost their right tackle McGrady as well as their center. So there's five right there. So I wouldn't be shocked by that number one bit, Mike. What was it? Cincinnati's, they ended up losing a lineman as well. I think
his
was
starting right tackle. He went down.
Yeah. And so now we're at six without really even, you know, pressing it too much, you know, starting offensive lineman. But I think, you know, for the Saints, having a better understanding of what teams can do to you, it definitely helps you from that standpoint. But for me, it's always about, I thought that we were not as sharp offensively where you had too many mental mistakes. Because, like I said, there were one or two plays that, I mean, it's a touchdown. It is literally a touchdown or at least a big play if we can just a couple of guys maybe doing their job a little bit better. I thought that we got sloppy with the little things, and it ended up costing us because you weren't able to put as many points on the board that you normally were. Not to say that you were going to put 40, but I think that there were some things that you could have done to them that it's small and minute. But just the comment about Taysom takes so much of the load off of Alvin from a short yardage standpoint. and then just a look standpoint, you know, because the Saints probably played more 21 than they have the previous two games, and that's two backs, a tight end, and two receivers, you know. And so not to say that Taysom affected that, and where they've normally probably played 12 a little bit more, but his presence makes defense have to maybe adjust a little bit different. And I thought that on certain plays he would have been a difference maker for you. And, you know, I would have loved just to seen him in some of those situations that, you know, obviously we didn't get to see him. But for me, the Saints, they have to execute a lot better, particularly on offense, because there's some yardage to be had. And if you do see a similar look, you have to have a better plan than we kind of had as well.
Yeah, because now Atlanta, and I think they have the personnel to go to this 6-1 defense, and you saw the old pops himself, Vic Fangio, come up with this, sort of string it out, okay? You're not gonna hit that hole unless you hit the exact right one to get that big yardage rushing the football. And Jalen Carter came to play. Now, he's not like that every week. And you and I have talked about Jalen. Man, when he was at Georgia, he sort of played when he wanted to. But when he wanted to, man, you didn't want to tangle with him. Jordan Davis, I thought, was a big impact guy. That was a guy that, man, out in Philly, they were all over him. All he does is lean on people. Well, he wasn't leaning on people this week. Man, he was beating people up front. And if that film's out there, you know the Falcons, I think, will try something exactly the same as what Fangio did against them.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think that would be somewhat of a surprise if they don't at least try to see if they can attack some of those places. I mean, but at the same time, for the Saints, there's some things that you can do to that defense when it's out there. I mean, you try to cut it in half. That's basically what it is. I don't have to worry about certain players just because of how they're going to play, but their key places, I have to be able to make sure that you secure it, and it's a lot easier for me to say, you know, and I'm not the guy that's out there trying to block some of those phenomenal players on the defensive line. But at the same time, I think that there are some places that you can hit a defense when they try to play you like that as well.
Deuce, I don't know when this has become in vogue, but not going for field goals. It was so funny. I had three shows in Philly Monday morning, and they weren't crowing about winning. All they were talking about and bitching about was Nick Sirianni. What the hell is he doing? He passes up two makeable field goals, and then he tells Jake Elliott, "Hey, kid, get out there and go kick the 60-yarder." Now, Dennis Allen passed up one also, but it's almost becoming vogue in this league. If it's a fourth and one, hey, we're going to go for it in this spot, and we're going to pass up the field goal. And Sirianni, he did that real early on the Monday night game against the Falcons, which cost him two. Man, that's all they were talking about, you know, about Sirianni on that particular deal. But isn't that sort of the trend in the NFL today? You know what? Let's go for it. Fourth and one. If we can't get a yard or half a yard on these teams, then we shouldn't be there. A lot of times you get stuff, you flip in the field fast, and then you go for the 60-yard field goal. The plus 50-yard field goal is in vogue today, okay? Get out there and kick it, kid. I think you can do it. And Elliott missed the kick. You got it at midfield. So, man, field position, so vital. But I'm all about in that spot, especially early in the game, man, take the points.
Mike, I can understand both sides of it. It's got to be a field, and it's got to be how many yards. Here's the thing, interesting thing about their kicker. When he put the ball in the middle of the field, pregame, he kicked two of them from 65 yards. When he put the ball on the right hash, now it was actually the left hash, going the other way. The other way, he missed. He was one of three from 52 yards. And me and Mike, we watched the kickers. We watched Groupie. We watched the opposing kicker just to try to get a feel for him. He was one of three, and that was from like 50, 52, 55. He was one of three. He missed the first two. Finally, made the last one. Flipped the side he was going to, same way where he kicked that 60-yarder when it was in the middle of the field. He kicked two of them for 65. And you can't tell me that the head coach doesn't ask the special team coach, hey, what do you think? How do you like it? X, Y, Z. I guarantee you tell him, hey, coach, he made two of them earlier. You know, I feel good about it. The only thing was the football was in the middle of the field and not on the hash. And so it's all, you know, hey, it's a field deal. Do you think that – Do you think that it's analytical driven? I can't tell you. You know, I better have a play that I really love, and my guys better go out there and save me and execute. Because if you don't, you're going to deal with everybody, you know, questioning the decision.
Your opinion, and just watching from television standpoint and what you've seen with Kirk Cousins, that's Hebert's boy. I mean, because I think he sort of looks at Kirk similar to him. And they sort of rhythm-type passers. I thought game one, man, he was awfully stiff. And you could understand that, him coming off the Achilles injury. He looked a little better, a little bit more with some movement against Kansas City in the game. They should have won. They really should have beat Kansas City and let that slip away from them. But your thoughts on Kirk, who has had some really, really good games against the Saints when he was in Minnesota.
I am sending the kitchen sink at him. I don't care. I am sending the kitchen sink at him. And really, you know, it's not really from the outside. I know Alante Taylor is, you know, he's got, what, 4 sacks, and he's come off the edge. You know, I'm going to send that as well. But I am showing double A gap. And, Kirk, you're either going to be in shotgun and getting the ball out of your hands. But if you're under center, one, I'm testing your new center that you have here, and two, I'm going to see if you can move, because if the pressure can get there in your face and you can't move out of the way, then I know I have a pretty good chance that ball's got to come out hot. I cannot allow you to sit back there and be able to just dissect my defense and get it to the weapons that you have on the edge, and it looks like they're starting to get it to a lot of those weapons out there on the edge. You know, they've got a lot of pretty toys at the running back position, the tight end, and the receiver position. You know, the question is, can the quarterback get it to them consistent? And I'm sending the sink at him. I am sending the sink at him.
Yeah, because, again, he was never known as a movement guy, but you can tell he's not the same guy anymore. And I understand that coming off the injury. I really, really do in that part. And also, you don't have your starting center or your starting right tackle, most likely, in this game. We've seen a lot more of Ray-Ray Robinson in the lineup for Atlanta than maybe we saw a year ago with them and how they use him, and also the addition of Darnell Mooney. He brings him some speed element. We all know Darnell when he played here at Tulane and when he was with the Bears. And then, man, Drake London. I remember last year during the preseason and talking to Jen Hale. Jen does the preseason games for the Falcons. And she was like, that's who they say is the next big thing here in Atlanta. It's Drake London. They're not talking about Pitts like this. They're talking about Drake London. They have two targets, two distinct targets. One, that big, tall, lengthy receiver, and then the speed guy in Darnell Mooney.
No, I agree, and I think, you know, obviously all three of them are a little bit different. Bijan looks like the guy that you thought he would be, and, you know, he's done a really nice job being able to pick up the blitz. But, I mean, it's the ball. When he has the ball in his hands and he can make people miss and doing some different things like that, that's what the Saints have to be aware of. You know, he's basically a guy like Alvin that can do a little bit of everything, and he's going to be a stop-and-start guy. I mean, and so you've got to be able to, hey, I see him, and I'm going to unleash on him. I can't just say, oh, he's going to slow down. No, he's a stop and start guy as far as that everything he wants to do. You know, not necessarily cut back, but he will cut a lot back. And, you know, they use him out of the backfield. They throw it to him out wide. And, you know, they're using him a lot more, but they still will throw Algier in there. And then, you know, it looks like finally your tight end is 100% healthy. You know, I still think they could probably target him a little bit more. And after
what you saw
this weekend, you know, I imagine they're going to say, yep, that's a matchup we feel like we can win a lot more. And so the Saints defensively, you got to have your hands full. I mean, but you've done it before. It's just going to be, can you lock in?
Deuce, I know you keep up with a lot of college football, so I'm going to ask you the question. Georgia, Alabama, first big test for both teams. Georgia, they almost look like they rode their helmets on the field against Kentucky. And Kentucky always plays them well in Lexington. Really have. Now, when they go to Athens, they get the stew kicked out of them. But when in Lexington, man, they've really played them tough the last couple, three games there. And Alabama's really, this is the first big test. And the two quarterbacks.
So you're gonna say Wisconsin was not a test for them?
What? Oh, man. Man, Wisconsin don't have them athletes. Good gracious. They ran by them like it was a speed bump.
Right.
So, man, it's the tale of the two quarterbacks here. Carson Beck, Jalen Milroe. going up against one another, and these great defenses that, you know, both teams have. Georgia, really, really good. Always been really good on defense. Maybe they don't have the depth they've had the past, because you lose that much to the NFL early. You can't. There's no way you can be that good again. But your thoughts on Georgia-Alabama?
Where's that game at, Mike?
Tuscaloosa, baby.
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
So you would say that Beck, I don't want to say been there, done that, but he's played on the road in big atmospheres.
Yes,
so for them, I don't think that they would be afraid to go into Alabama. But here's my only question. If Alabama can be in that game after halftime, and what I mean by that, you know, you're talking about, hey, we've got a 10-point game regardless of which way, I think it kind of slants towards Alabama, because the longer they're in that game, because you don't have Nick there. You don't have Nick on the sideline. You don't have him on the sideline. But the longer we feel like we're in that game, then the confidence only grows. Because now I'm trusting what this new coaching staff is doing, you know, and we're hanging with these guys. You know, it could be 3 points, 7 points, and then we're at home. And so it's only going to get louder. So, yes, you like Beck in those situations, but the confidence grows for that Alabama team. I'm at home. We're in the game. You know, it's a new staff. They may be telling us what we actually believe. And now, you know, it's just, hey, who can finish? And if I had to go with one team, I would probably go with Alabama in that matchup.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, no problem. Thank you, guys.
All righty. Deuce McAllister, the Saints color analyst here for all Saints football games. And you can hear Deuce, Fan and the Pro, this coming Friday. And then him and Mike Hoss on WWL calling Saints Falcons Sunday afternoon. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Cullen Steele in studio. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Let's go to Greg the Fireman. Greg, in the huddle with Mike and Cullen.
Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Greg, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great. I have a question for you, okay? If you could pick for college, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Jordan Jefferson and Terrence Marshall, or Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and Kyron Lacy, which one do you pick? And then if you could put him in the pros, which one do you pick in the pros? Which group?
I think I'd go with the first group by a hair. You know, because I know what Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are today. And I think the world of Malik. I think he's a fantastic football player. And Brian Thomas, he's just a young puppy in this game. You know, people don't realize he was a basketball player, track athlete up into his senior year of high school. So he's just learning the position. But if I had to pick today, I would go with Joe, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and, you know, Terrence, man, he came out. He was the five-star guy. He was the more highly rated of all the wideouts. Man, one injury after another and never played at that top level. He was a good player at LSU. He was not the development player that we saw from Justin and Ja'Marr, who now arguably the two best wideouts in the National Football League. So I'd go with the first group only because I know more about them, Greg. And I know what those two receivers can do. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it, Greg. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Deuce McAllister for joining us, give us his insights on the Saints and the upcoming game against the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, we got a brand new show. In fact, it was started last week on Thursday, so join Steve Geller and myself for Weekend Kickoff, a special edition of Sports Talk Live from the Treasure Chest Casino. We'll count down to Thursday night football. Bobby's favorite team, the Dallas Cowgirls, play the New York Giants, and get amped up for Sunday's game with the Saints versus the Falcons. Come and hang out with us at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill in the casino tomorrow 4-7, and Treasure Chest, it's land-based now, so as you're passing down Wimps, it's on the right-hand side in the Lake Town area, right on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain, and you can't miss it, right off to the right, right before you get to the old Treasure Chest Casino, which was out in the water. So, hey, we can't wait to see you there. Come visit us right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll have a lot more sports talk. Myself along with Cullen Steele, Steve Geller, right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Yeah. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Cullen Steele, coordinating and supervising behind the scenes, making sure everything goes right with us here. And at 5:45, we'll have our triple option feature. A little after 5:20, we'll have on with us Odyssey betting insider Brad Evans to give us his picks for the week. And at 6:20, Mike Conte, longtime guy here at WWL and moved to the ATL. He's working at 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. And he'll talk more about this Saints-Falcons football game. We talked about this a little bit in the first hour. We'll bring it up again. Additions to the Saints roster with the injury to Eric McCoy and him going on injured reserve and him having surgery at the Andrews Institute out in Gulf Breeze, Florida. The Saints brought up Shane Lemieux, who's a veteran in this league. He's missed a lot of playing time because of injuries with the Giants. They really liked him, but, you know, he was just hurt every year. Again, he played 18 games, started 12 for him. We saw him spend a lot of time at guard, spend a little bit of time at center, and he kind of stroked a few of them real high, and then he kind of rolled a couple of them also. So be interesting to see how that works out. And they signed veteran offensive center guard Chris Reed, 32 years old, to the practice squad, a former Minnesota State Maverick. He came out of there, and he was a left tackle, played most of his career at the left tackle position, also tremendous track athlete there, and undrafted free agent. And he's played for Jacksonville, Miami, Carolina, Indianapolis, Minnesota, and the Houston Texans. He has also started 30 games in this league. So you brought in a veteran guy who can play both guard and center. Want to tell everybody tonight, you be a part of Real Time. Join Odyssey and WWL as we take a deep dive into all matters mental health tonight at 7 o'clock. It's called I'm Listening. It'll be hosted by Carson Daly and will feature Dr. Christian Matea, Chief Medical Officer at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, with appearances by stars like Keith Urban, Kate Perry, Usher, Dolly Parton, and a lot more. Join us in a real, meaningful, and important conversation tonight, 7 to 9, right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. Cullen, I heard Brian Kelly talk, but what made me laugh was to hear Major Applewhite, okay, the head coach at South Alabama. Man, he grew up, he was a Tiger fan. In Baton Rouge, go to Catholic High. Then he ends up at University of Texas, was a good quarterback there, as kind of bounced around college football. And that's what happens. You sort of, almost like in the military, you jump from one place to the next. And he was like, man, playing LSU in Baton Rouge, just another game. Man, come on. I get it, Coach. I get that's what you're saying, but that ain't real. Okay, you don't grow up in Louisiana and in Baton Rouge and, you know, you doorsteps away from Tiger Stadium, and that not mean a lot to you as an individual to go back there. And, man, South Alabama, the last couple of weeks, they put up some unbelievable numbers offensively. And it's not like they play in, you know, 11 granites of stone at with LSU on defense. Teams have picked on those corners pretty good. So I think for the first half, South Alabama will put up numbers and put up some points. LSU's talent catches them in the second half of this game.
Yeah. Do you think it'll actually be like a close one? Or
man, LSU ain't covered one game this year. I wouldn't put a nickel on.
You mentioned that on Saturday with Tiger tailgating, and
I told her, man, you can put your money on them. I'm not. If I had to bet, I would certainly take the points in UCLA in that game. And he was like, come on, Mike. They got to break out one game. Okay.
It was like 22?
Yeah.
It's currently 22 for the South Alabama game.
Okay.
And think it's going to happen again?
Well, my thing is they ain't getting my money. I'm not a gambler, to be honest with you. But I will say this. It'll be somebody else's money that they get. It won't be mine to play in that game. And
it's
come on,
too.
You know that it's meaningful for Major, understanding
100%.
What that game would mean if he could somehow pull off the upset. I think LSU wins the game. LSU's got so much offensive talent. They're going to hit him with the tsunami, similar to what they've done other teams in the second half. But, man, they've had propensity to give up all these big plays. And South Alabama's on a roll. And if you don't stop them early – they got a little bit of confidence now. Not a little bit, a lot. These Bobby, they put up over 80 points against his old Northwestern team.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
And he was like, Mike, yeah, but I wasn't. I was like, I'm not saying you were playing. Now, Coach O was playing, and Duper and Delaney. But, man, the last couple of weeks for South Alabama, they have put up some big numbers. And I suspect that early on, LSU's defense will have trouble with South Alabama.
See what the math on this. Yeah, they've outscored opponents 135-24 in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, that's
110 point differential.
Okay, that'll be your money for that 22 point. Won't be mine.
I don't want to do it.
And again, man, all eyes to not only that, and then we'll have our Tiger tailgating show. Herb Tyler and I, starting at 2:00 Saturday afternoon, will be at. It'll be our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show. We'll be live at Acme Oyster House. And we want to thank MAP Construction, great sponsors. And, they got TVs all over the place. You can watch the games. We start at 2 o'clock. We take it till 4:45. And then at 6:45, we throw it to, man, Chris Blair, Jacob Hester. And they do a fantastic job calling the game. LSU versus South Alabama, the Jaguars, Saturday on WWL, and you can listen to it also free on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll have on with us Brad Evans, who's one of the hosts of BetMGM Tonight, give us his thoughts on the LSU game, also Tulane in a big game. Also, I don't know if I'm Alabama, I want to schedule South Florida too many more times. They've given them some issues, especially for three quarters, and also to Saints Atlanta. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Cullen Steele in studio. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hola, amigo. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, man, appreciate it. Brad, right off the bat, Saints Atlanta, a lot of talk about this game. 1.5-point favorite, Falcons here. How did Texter ask, wouldn't the play on here, because both teams beat up along the offensive line, be the under in this game, which is 42.5? So I'll get your thoughts on Atlanta and New Orleans.
Yeah, look, we've seen some line movement, actually. The Falcons are up to -2.5 right now at BetMGM. I do feel the underplay is very much, a sound wager, given all the injuries there in the trenches. for both these respective squads. I mean, Alvin Kamara as well, a guy got a bit of a maintenance day today. Good news for New Orleans, obviously Taysom Hill is going to be back being that Swiss Army knife and may help alleviate some of the workload on Kamara's shoulders, considering he's had 46 total rush attempts combined the last couple of weeks. He's been the epitome of a workhorse. What version of the New Orleans Saints offense are we going to get? Are we going to get the one that lit the world on fire weeks one and two, or we get the one that regressed to really the mean and well below that in a game that was a slugfest against Philadelphia last week? I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. Atlanta has been a bit touch and go offensively as well. Kings of inconsistency in their own right. I think the texter is spot on. The under is my lean on 42.5. Though I do like the Saints plus the 2.5. I think this game's going to be nip and tuck, going to come all the way down the final moments, and I could see him winning on a field goal as time expires.
All eyes, Alabama, Georgia, your thoughts there?
The game is going to be ridiculous. I think of what, 7 people are going to watch it? That's it?
7.
I mean, come on.
17 million?
It's going to be an animated audience. Yeah, seriously. It's going to be insane in the membrane, no question about it. And, you know, you look at Alabama and what they've been able to do. They're just getting it done across the board. And Georgia's a team that's kind of played with fire. I mean, look at the Kentucky game coming down the final moments in that one before they secured the victory. I think Bama's going to get the best of them. I really do. And the numbers nerd in me really sides with that. If you look at the expected points added or EPA data that is out there, Alabama's top 7 in the country EPA total offense, top 7 in the country EPA total defense. Now, Georgia's no sloth in either regard. They're number 70 EPA per play offense and number 14 EPA per play defense. I just think Bama across the board is a sounder, a more balanced team. And, of course, you got the home factor there as well. I think they're going to win this game by a field goal. So the fact that Georgia's laying a point and a half, I'll take Bama straight up on the money line at plus 105 there at BetMGM.
Man, I'd like to see how many scouts will be at that game. And, you know, most eyes on Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe, the two quarterbacks in that game. Yeah. LSU, South Alabama, Major Applewhite coming back to Louisiana. He was a Baton Rouge guy, grew up, went to Catholic High, and he's talked about it, about, you know, that lure of an aura of Tiger Stadium. But he played it down this week. Just another game. Just another game. Yeah, right. South Alabama has put up a lot of points the last couple weeks. They have really dipped hard into the portal. Here's the thing about LSU, 22-point favorite. They have not covered one game this year. And just because their secondary has given up so many chunk plays there, I think Alabama's going to have some success early. I think LSU's talent catches them in the second half. But, man, that first half, LSU has had some difficulties. That was not a good UCLA team. It was 17-17 at half.
Yeah, it was. That was a bit shocking, to say the least. No question about it. But this seems like a get-right spot, I believe, for LSU. And, the backup numbers and the advanced analytics really solidify that position. A team that has the balance, far more balance than South Alabama does. The LSU Tigers, number 20 in EPA per way offense nationally, number 52 in defense. And that was your concern, is on the defensive end, especially on that back end. But South Alabama, 10 times worse defensively, number 100 on the nose in defensive efficiency so far this season, number 62 in EPA per play offense. So, I think far and away LSU is a better team. They're a more talented team across the board. As long as they get off to a hot start, I think they will wear down South Alabama after the half and pull away. I got them win by 30-plus, so I will happily lay the chalk.
Okay. I'm not going to do it, but I'm glad you will. Notre Dame, Louisville. Man, we saw last year Louisville put it to them. And now Notre Dame, 6.5-point favorite. Louisville undefeated this year. Notre Dame 3-1 in that shocking loss. But your thoughts on the Fighting Irish versus the Cardinals?
Yeah, again, two teams on paper, almost even Stevens, quite frankly. And I think 6 points is a little bit too much, a little too rich for my blood there for the Fighting Irish. I like Louisville. I think the Cardinals are going to hang and hang tough in this game. A team that's number 12 in the country, EPA per play offense, number 29 EPA per play defense. I have a Notre Dame squeaking by in this game by a field goal. I'm giving Louisville about a 45% chance to win this sucker straight up. So if you want to sprinkle a little action there on the money line, it makes sense. But I think the Fighting Irish got to come down again to the final moments, boot through the upright. They'll secure the victory. But if you back Louisville, you'll get the cover, and that's maybe the more important factor in that game.
All right, Brad, after a pretty disastrous Monday night game with the Jaguars, I was wondering, have we seen any real movement about where they might be with regards to a top two, maybe top three, top one pick in next year's draft?
Yeah, look, I think they're going to be very much in that conversation.
Doug's in trouble.
I mean, that was an embarrassing performance. They got deep-panted on national television, and everybody paid zero attention in the second half. Because we're all, gripped by what was going on with the Washington Commanders and Cincinnati Bengals. And, of course, Jaden Daniels and his brilliance, as you guys already know, how awesome that guy is from his days on Baton Rouge. But, look at Jacksonville. They have so many issues. I think Doug Peterson is going to be the first coach in the NFL fired. Defensively, they're not right. They're playing a lot of man coverage. They're not healthy. Tyson Campbell, their top cover corner, is on IR right now, and they're just disheveled. They're an unfixable mess. And let's give, Trevor Lawrence, we got to start raising some doubts about him. I mean, he's not living up to the hype, not living up to the expectations. I know he's in all the commercials. I know he was the face of college football during his days at Clemson. So a guy that really I don't think has lived up to the top billing. And he's, really played at a sorrowful level so far this season. So I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon. I think that ship is going to remain capsized down there in Duval County. So Jacksonville, I think, are going to get boat raced again this week on the road against C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans.
Man, that ain't good for Doug. I've known him for a long time, and I thought maybe he could turn that franchise around, but it doesn't look to be the case. Vikings-Packers. Packers 2.5-point favorite in this game. Man, will the Vikings come down to earth in this game against Green Bay?
Yeah, I do believe they're going to suffer their first loss of the season. They're 3-0 as well, ATS, against the spread. But the Pack, going to get Jordan Love back. And, that's a massive shot in the arm, though. Give credit where it's due to Malik Willis. I mean, he was in a revenge game spot last week against his former employer, the Tennessee Titans. Awesome. Played brilliantly in that game. But I think the key factor in this game is going to be Jaden Reed. And the reason being is based on the matchup in that secondary against Byron Murphy, operating out of the slot. I think he just outclasses Murphy every way, shape, and form. You look at Murphy, he is top five in most yards allowed to his primary assignment so far this year. With Jordan Love back, I think he's going to be funneling passes into the belly of Jaden Reed. And Reed, too, can beat you on the ground as well. We've seen on end arounds and, design handoffs for him that a guy can get you, 20, 25 yards on the ground. So I think Reed, again, will be the difference maker in this game as Green Bay will secure the victory and hand Minnesota their first loss of the season. But Kevin O'Connell still a front runner for AP Coach of the Year at plus 325 at BetMGM, and he may darn well win that sucker.
Brad, it's really surprising. My thing with Sam Darnold, he sort of got to prove it to me. And I know he was in some difficult situations with certain teams. He has played outstanding the first couple weeks of the season. Now can he keep it up? Because I think the one knock on him has always been his inconsistency. Can he keep this up? But, man, he's getting well coached with Kevin. And I do know that LSU Tiger receiver is pretty doggone good he's throwing it to.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best in the league, you could argue there, and Justin Jefferson. The good news for Sam Darnold this week, it sounds like Jordan Addison's going to be back in the lineup. He was out with the ankle injury. He was back at practice today. Jalen Ayler's even stepped up and had some big moments. Caught a couple of touchdown passes. And this is a team, too, also doing it without T.J. Hockenson, who they're going to get back eventually. down the road. And Aaron Jones, man, wear the sombrero with pride.
Well.
He has really turned back the clock, and he's in a revenge game spot heading back to Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. So it's going to be a riveting game from start to finish. And I give all the credit in the world to Sam Darnold. You know, everybody wrote him off. Number 3 overall pick in the 2018 draft, but like a fine wine, baby. He has matured, and he is a peak flavor right now. He is dealing, and I think that's going to continue throughout the season. However, this week, a little slice of humble pie.
Bringing it back home, Brad, we talked last time we had you on about the NFC South odds, and you know the Saints were trending up. And it seems like this past week, every team but the Panthers trended down. And I wanted to know if you saw any movement. Obviously, the Panthers' chances probably shot up the second the Red Rifle took control. But, you know, I'm not holding out any hope that they're going to come from behind and
hold
win.
Hold your breath on that.
Yeah, color. But I'm wondering, you know, with, you know, things, players as well as the teams kind of dropping like flies, this Saints-Falcons matchup will apparently set the tone for who's going to be fully in the driver's seat for at least the first half of the season.
But watch for Tampa,
both
I'm telling
teams
you. They
are right
bad
around,
last week.
Yeah, they did play bad last week, around plus 225. So they're nearly neck and neck to take this division. And, yeah, this could be a pivotal matchup in determining that narrative, to say the least. And, again, I believe pound for pound, New Orleans is a better team. And I think you're going to see that front and center. I mean, defensively, the Saints have been outstanding this season. A team that's top 6 in EPA per play defense. You can't say that about the Atlanta Falcons. They're a team that's balanced, sure, but in a negative way. Number 21 EPA per play offense, number 20 in EPA per play defense. So on paper, New Orleans has a sizable advantage. Alvin Kamara is obviously key. He's got to be healthy. I think he's going to get another probably 20 carries in this game, or at least 20 touches, probably a handful of receptions as well. Chris Olave back on track last week, behind the end zone. You know, Rashid Shaheed was shut out a week ago. That's not going to be the case this week. I think Derek Carr is going to be dealing. You're going to get the good version of him, not the version you saw in a ravine last week, you know, turned over. But Atlanta, to me, is a little bit smoke and mirrors. I know they played well there against Kansas City, but a team, to me, is going to fall back to the mean, and that mean being woefully average, according to the advanced numbers.
Brad, last question for you is tomorrow night. Cowboys up against the Giants, and Paul, we've seen, you know, we talk so much about Jaden Daniels and what he's been able to do early in his career in 3 games, but boy, look at Malik Nabers and what he's done to that Giants attack. And man, he was a guy, I remember Coach O telling me about when we got on him real late. He was going to go to Mississippi State. They lost a recruit at wide receiver. They went hard after Malik, and we were able to get him kind of in the bewitching hour of signing day. And what he's turned out to be. Your thoughts, Giants, Cowboys tomorrow night?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a competitive game. And we've seen major line shifts in the last about 12 hours. You know, the line came way down. You know, Dallas, I think, opened at 6.5. It was sliced down like 4.5. Now it's starting to rebound. And may get back to that 6.5 original line by kickoff. The Giants got a lot of injuries on the back end. Adoree Jackson's going to be out in that defensive backfield, and one that's already vulnerable to begin with. And now I got ahead up against one of the best wide receivers in the game there, and CeeDee Lamb, to go along with Jalen Tolbert, who's really come on strong. But you're right. I mean, the two X factors in this game, I think the duality of Daniel Jones, the success rate of Devin Singletary on the ground against the Dallas Cowboys defense that is dead last in EPA rush defense. And I'll add a third in there. Of course, it's Malik Nabers, who's been unstoppable so far this season. He's winning every route. He's getting separation. Dallas has no answer for him. So as long as Daniel Jones throws some consistent strikes in his general direction, he's going to catch. He's going to get appreciable yak. And he's maybe going to prevail and get the Giants there over the top. So slight lean for me still, given even with the injuries defensively, is with the G-men plus the points. I think that game is going to be hotly contested, and I would not have thunk that 3 or 4 weeks ago looking at the Giants on paper. But I think they're overachieving right now, and Dallas, the epitome of underachievement.
One thing with the Giants, they can get a pass rush too. They've spent a lot of money and a lot of capital, but they really can do that. Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. You can hear Brad on BetMGM tonight. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the action.
All righty. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. When we come back, it'll be myself, Cullen, along with Steve Geller, our triple option feature right here on the Big 870.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele, and it's time for our triple option feature. Steven, I was going to do the block punt, but I saw you did that already, so I'm going to throw it to you first. I got another one, but I'll throw it to you.
Gotcha. Well, I'm talking about, you know, the beginning of the year, everybody wants to talk about who's going to be the first NFL coach fired this season. We're entering now week four, and there's been some significant movement on the odds of which team's going to end up with Bill Belichick as head coach, even though I think he's looking awfully happy as a broadcaster now. I don't know if he wants to get back into the coaching ranks, but the Cowboys, still number one. There's no movement there, but the big swings, not a surprise, guys. Jaguars went from number 16 to number two, the second best odds to likely hire Belichick. The Jets went down. They've gone from second to seventh, and the Bills went from seventh to 15th. Meanwhile, going back to the top teams that they feel are in the mix for Bill Belichick, Dallas Cowboys, even odds, which is pretty
even.
Wild.
Even,
odds. Right.
Good grace.
Jacksonville Jaguars, 6-1. Philadelphia Eagles, 6-1. Sirianni, man, we know with his play calling and the way things are going in Philly, I don't know what's going to happen over there.
They ain't too happy with him, I know that.
No surprise, New York Giants, another NFC East team in there with 8-1 odds. And then you got three teams with 10-1 odds in the Chicago Bears, Las Vegas Raiders, and the New York Jets. Right behind them are New Orleans Saints at 14-1. But I'm saying, I think we've talked about it a lot, this team doesn't pull the trigger mid-season on coaches. They would never do anything, I don't think, either mid-season. It would be at the end of the year, and things would have to go dramatically wrong.
I would never say never on anything.
Right.
It's the Sean Connery line, but it would take a lot. Cullen, I think I know what you're going to do. I saw it through it to you.
Yeah, there's not much else going on other than the massive news coming out of UNLV with their quarterback leaving because they weren't going to fulfill a verbal promise for an NIL deal. Like, is this the, you think that you guys, here's, I'm going to pose it to you.
Pay to play, baby.
In the bigger picture, is this the start of the avalanche? Is this the snowball falling? Like, where do you think this could lead to bigger things, changes to the NIL,
yes,
maybe? You think
to
so?
Answer your question.
You think
yes.
So? Because, like, at the end of the day, what we've heard so far, and this is, you know, developing, so take it with a grain of salt, but he literally left, told them they were going to sit out. He's entering, as Mike, I talked to you earlier, he's not just leaving the team. He's going to another team. He's entering the portal, and he's saying, I'm not going to play for you guys. I'm going to go play for somebody else who apparently, when he wanted to sign with them this year, they offered him via a verbal offer from an assistant coach, $100,000. And at the time, currently he's gotten $3,000through some NIL
collection.
So he
got short-sheeted money-wise, yeah, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
3-0 team he's leaving too.
They're, yeah, what, currently ranked like 23 in the coaches poll? Like, this is, I think, the first time they've ever been ranked in the coaches poll. Like, they've never been higher. And you're just like getting up and packing bags and saying, you guys don't want to pay me.
It's part of the world we live in.
It is
part
of ugly mess.
I hate to say it, but it is part of the world.
No, it is.
We may dislike it. You may talk about team But, you know, okay, if you think about your job, if they told you that, okay, we're going to pay you this amount of money to work here, and then they give you a lot less, are you staying at that job?
No, sir.
Because of loyalty? I don't think so.
Right. I brought this team to 3-0. I could do it with someone else, I guess, too.
Yeah. Why and not? So I understand both sides of it.
Right.
I get it. But this is not the end of it. They will have a lot more similar to this because of promises made by boosters or assistant coaches. They don't come forward with it. We sort of got a hint maybe there was a certain back a little north of us that split the scene of the crime. And he went to the Midwest because he wanted to redo his NIL deal. He got a much better deal. He got maybe a Buckeye on the side of that helmet. And so that's just a rumor, but I think it come from a really good source. Guys, the Miami Dolphins are the only team in the NFL not to hold a lead this year for one single second.
No, really?
Think about that. They have not had a lead in a game for 1 second.
No, you're right, because that Jaguars game, the Jaguars just imploded. Like, they had that game in the bag, and then they just died, basically.
When you think about it, last year, Carolina Panthers were like that. They had right. 2 walk-offs for wins. They didn't have 1 second where they had a lead in the fourth quarter, but the Dolphins are the only team in the NFL not to hold a lead for a single second. You would think somewhere along the line you had a lead for a little while.
You think McDaniel's on that hot seat now or no? I don't think he's in the Belichick conversation.
I don't think so because of the injury to Tua. You know, man, you got to go to Tyler Thompson.
And then isn't he, like, questionable, too? He, like, right. chest or something, like ribs?
Man, I'm looking around if I'm the Dolphins.
I'm really surprised they haven't picked up the phone and called good old Ryan Tannehill's out there. Bring him back to Miami. Oh.
I saw someone say, why don't they trade for Russell Wilson up in Pittsburgh?
Is he healthy?
Yeah,
Might be healthier than their two guys already.
I think if he wasn't tied ownership-wise to the Raiders, that phone call might have went to Tom Brady. Yeah, man, Tom basically was telling you in the offseason, man, I don't know.
Why not?
And listen, Stephen Ross got in trouble. Got a first-round pick ripped away from him because he was sort of talking out of school to not only Tom Brady, but also Sean Payton the exact same way. And so, you know, Mr. Ross, man, he got a lot of money in his pockets. And he don't know the word patience. He want to win now. But Mike McDaniel, man, without Tua, you can see this football team, they not trolling right. And who knows with Tua? I mean, that's going to be his decision if he wants to walk away or not. It's hard for anybody to tell someone you have to walk. You understand that you can't put a Band-Aid on that head and that brain.
Of course, Mike, this is my luck. This is the year in fantasy football.
You got Tua?
No. I got to draft Tyreek Hill, first-round pick. And not so good now.
Yeah, and I have one of the Texans ask about, man, what about Kyle Pitts? Man, if you're in fantasy football, and after you watch what Dallas Goedert did, you sort of think that, man, Kirk Cousins, and I agree with Deuce, they're going to put a lot of pressure on him. Man, that outlet pass is going to be going real quick to Kyle Pitts. And he's healthy now. And, man, he put up unbelievable numbers at the University of Florida. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. And, Steve, tell us what you got coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
We're going to get to some audio of head coach Dennis Allen and quarterback Derek Carr, a little bit of what they talked about today, and then get a little bit of Falcons information. Former WWL employee, now in Atlanta, brand manager for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Mike Conte will join us at 6:25.
That's where I heard that name before.
Yes, sir.
Man, Mike spent a lot of time here. Mike does a great job.
He used to do the voodoo games.
Man, yep, sure did for a long time. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
News break.
What is going on midway through the week, folks? Wednesday, September 25th here on Sports Talk. We'll be going till 7 o'clock this evening. Got an Odyssey special coming up. It'll be a deep dive into all matters of mental health, starting at 7, called I'm Listening, hosted by Carson Daly, featuring Christine Moutier, Chief Medical Officer in the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, and also appearances from stars like Keith Urban, Katy Perry, Dolly Parton, Dua Lipa, Hozier, and more. That's someone I wish would come to a jazz fest. Dolly Parton, I would love to see. That would be a good time. But join us for a really important, meaningful conversation. That's tonight, and it's going to go from 7 to 9 o'clock, live on the free Odyssey app, and of course, WWLAMFM.com as well. Going into tons of Saints talk today, we're going to get into some of the Atlanta Falcons after the first break. Mike Conti, brand manager of Sports Radio 92.9, the game in the ATL, will be joining us, get the latest on the Falcons as they get ready to host the Saints. And the big news today, obviously everybody was waiting for that initial injury report to come out for the Black and Gold. Not so great news is had four do not practices. Alante Taylor's dealing with an illness. DeMario Davis has a hamstring issue, Cesar Ruiz a knee issue, and Alvin Kamara dealing with a hip and ribs injury. So we'll see what he ends up doing the rest of the week and if he ends up progressing. Landon Young limited, Kylan Saunders limited, DeMarco Jackson limited. I guess the positive news from today, Taysom Hill, full go, woo-hoo, even with his chest issue listed. Yippee. But Derek Carr also listed on the injury report as full, though,
yeah,
but dealing with a left groin issue. So hamstrings and groins have been a problem right now.
Left groin?
Left groin.
I didn't know you could differentiate between a left or right. I thought it was just always groin. I always hear groin.
Yes, well, I don't know.
No, if it makes sense, but
I don't know if Derek ended up sustaining that after getting rocked on that interception he tossed.
Possibly. I know that, like, I asked Mike about this last week because I didn't know what the procedure was for injury reports, but I always wondered. I was like, when a guy is listed on the first report of the week and it's full participation, but he's on the report anyway, I'm like, what, did he, like, take the trash out and trip or something? And he's like, no, Cullen, the way that works is, like, it's usually at the end of the game,
right,
and it's, like, not something they, you know, feel the need to mention, or it's even, like, just something, like, it happened, but the game's over, we'll deal with it.
And he's not 100% right now, he's kind of working through it, but it is
enough to where
enough you have to put on the injury report,
it needs
report,
to be
right,
noted. That's, yes, the thing. It's like, but you are, you know, you could still feel like crap and go to work. Full participation. Like, you know, he can be a little under the weather. Granted, it's a left groin. He's not sick or anything. Alante Taylor is, which is worrisome, but he's been, you know, consistent. So I got faith that he'll be here.
Get him those meds and hopefully get back on the field tomorrow at least.
I
it's nothing too serious.
I feel like the biggest concern right now, and people texted us on the text line earlier about it. I don't know if it will be a concern, but this hurricane hitting Georgia, like,
we'll definitely ask Mike Conti about that when we get him on too. Is that going to be, has he been hearing about any kind of effects on it?
Yeah, like I'd be surprised if they, like, they're not going to move the game, they're not going to push it back. Like, they might just say, like, hey, maybe less people come. But
no, yeah, I was texted from a friend actually today when we, you know, I was getting in here getting the ready for the show and telling me, oh, your Saints game might be moved to a later start or to Monday Night Football because of the hurricane. But
wait.
I don't understand if it's supposed to be around that area Friday.
I believe.
I don't think it'll still be an issue on Sunday.
I didn't think so either.
Unless it causes some kind of, you know, catastrophic damage or flooding.
I think it'd be more catastrophic to move it Monday because I think it's another doubleheader. You'd have three Monday night games. Like,
back-to-back games.
Yeah, Monday game at 2 in the afternoon. Like, who would want? We'd watch that. We would be covering it. But, like, that just, I don't know. I think, you know, if we're thinking big picture here and it's all about the big bucks and everything like that, like, they just keep it Sunday. Maybe it's an afternoon game. Who knows? But
also news on the injury front for the Saints today. Eric McCoy, he did end up having surgery today for his groin issue. Dennis Allen didn't want to elaborate any timeline for him. He is on injured reserve, though, so he'll definitely miss miss the next four games. And I know a lot of people's timelines on Twitter and social media were saying about 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8.
They think he'll be out.
Mike said, be prepared, and you should be regardless.
I would think after the bye week, hopefully he can come back.
Yeah, and you know, Mike said earlier to me, he's like, be prepared for it to be on the latter half of that, for it to be the long part. I mean, right. If we're looking 8 weeks from now, like that, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 at the earliest, he could come back the week we play the Chargers. So he wouldn't be the hardest part of the season he would miss, and that's going to be this next four-game stretch. But he'd be back in time for the Chargers. If we do it at 6, he'd be back in time for a second bout against Atlanta in week 10, and 8 would be the bye week. So you could give him...
That makes sense to have him come back against the Rams.
You give him like 9, and then he comes back December 1st. He basically, you know, takes October and November and recuperates, and then December 1st against the Rams. That gives him 9
you say
weeks.
December 1st, that seems longer than saying week 13 at this point.
Yeah, they both seem distance away, but, you know, it'll be here before you know it. It really will. Like, it's creeping up on us.
No, I know. October's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's already the 25th of September.
These 2-1 Saints, man, getting ready for another bout with the Dirty Birds. The Atlanta Falcons are 1-2. Currently, right now, a noon kickoff Sunday in the ATL. Head coach Dennis Allen spoke earlier today to the media, cut out some of the clips, the best parts of it, and here's what he had to say as the team's getting ready for those Dirty Birds.
Atlanta week. Excited about the opportunity to go there and play those guys. They got a good football team. They're playing exceptionally well. They could easily be 3-0. With the way that they've played. They've played some really good teams, so it's going to be a tough challenge. I'm sure it'll be a great atmosphere to go play a game in, and we're excited about the opportunity.
DA, with losing Eric, such a key player for you all in front of you, how do you adjust without him?
Well, look, we're going to have some other guys step up. You know, everybody's dealing with it, and Atlanta's dealing with it. I know they lost their starting center, and, you know, I don't think anybody really knows yet for sure, at least – we don't know for sure whether or not McGarry's fine or not. You know, we'll figure that out probably come game time. You know, so everybody's got to be able to adjust and make changes, and we'll do that.
You mentioned a couple weeks ago about taking some things off of Derek Carr's plate in terms of checks, the line of scrimmage, and things like that. How big of a role did Eric McCoy play in that, and does that complicate the replacement?
Well, look, I mean, you know, obviously Eric was instrumental in the communication with everything that we're doing up front. And so, yeah, anytime you lose a guy like that, that is that smart, does such a great job of communicating, and is a good player to go along with that, you know, it makes it tough. But we've got guys that we believe in that'll go in and step in and play well in his absence.
Is Juwan still ramping up after missing so much of training him?
No, I think he's back to being ready to go and you know, I think he's a guy that we'd like to get, you know, more involved. And yet, you know, the offense is designed and you have plays that you know, are hoping to feature somebody. And yet, I have no idea what coverage they're going to play. And coverage can dictate and does dictate where the ball ends up going most of the time. But he is a guy that we'd like to get, you know, more involved.
How was Atlanta different because of that?
Well, I think they get the ball out more on rhythm and timing. You know, obviously this is a totally different scheme than, you know, what I say that. There's a lot of the run game is similar, but I think he does some good stuff at the line of scrimmage in terms of getting them in the right plays based on what the defense is giving you. I think they do a really good job. You know, they have some tempo plays where they're up on the ball and they're running a play. And then they give you the illusion that they're in tempo plays, and yet they're just trying to gather information and see what you're doing, you know. So I think this is I think from a talent standpoint, I think it's a much improved offensive football team. You know, they've added a skill receiver and a speedy receiver, and, you know, Mooney who is a good player. Ray McLeod's a good player. You know, obviously they've had London, Pitts. You know, the runners are extremely talented, different. They run the same plays, but different skill sets, but both talented in their own right. So, and I think Kirk, you know, operates it like he's operated very similar schemes in the past. I think this scheme fits, you know, what he, you know, likes to do. And, you know, I think each week you're seeing him, you know, get him on the move a little bit more, under center, play action, stretch running game, all the things that he's really done you know, over the last few years that he's had so much success with.
That was Saints head coach Dennis Allen as the black and gold get ready for Atlanta week. I thought coach was going to dip in there with Atlanta hate week.
I wanted to hear it, but I understand you got to, you know, and it would.
Keeping it professional,
it
DA.
It would sting if it's Atlanta hate week and then we lose. But I understand. I understand, the, you know, keeping it reserved is what I'm going to say.
I think the whole hate week has been kind of on a low vibe after the Saints ended up losing to the Eagles on Sunday, because I feel like things would have been really overflowing and bubbling if they,
the word,
you know, the Saints were 3-0 right now.
No, I'd use slow. Like, I think it's there, but it's the you know, the growing intensity is not nearly as strong. And if for everyone wondering out there, if you aren't familiar, hate week, at least in New Orleans with regards to Atlanta, just think of it in college football terms, it's rival week.
Exactly.
It's Auburn versus Alabama. Like, it's LSU versus Alabama to a degree. Like, it is the time where you're like, okay, we really don't like this team. You could say hate. A lot of people do. It's in the title. But I think it's a slow start. I think it will peak up a little bit as we get closer.
Yeah, I think that.
I hope so, at least.
Obviously, Saints fans cannot stand the Dirty Birds.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, nothing better than making their Mercedes-Benz Stadium our home away from home. Saints have had a ton of success there. I know the years when I was doing the sidelines, it was truly amazing to me how many black and gold jerseys would see in the first few rows. Not
really?
Even just in the stands, but on the lower level right up front. And it was just amazing because so many times you're hearing a "Who Dat" chant break out in Atlanta.
Maybe with the hurricane we'll see more black and gold because Louisianans are like more used to traveling in that kind of weather. And they'll be like, "Ah, this is nothing. We'll take over."
You know what? We'll find out more about this hurricane heading towards Florida, and I know it's going to affect the Atlanta area. Mike Conney, brand manager of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the ATL, will join us after the break. We'll ask him about the storm coming and what are preparations like in Atlanta, and also about this Dirty Bird team that is now 1-2. But you look at the games, they could very well be 3-0 right now.
It's close.
Yeah, definitely a scary bunch, even though.
Don't write them off.
Yeah, for sure. With the quarterback in hand, now I'm interested to see, you know, how this team handles Kirk Cousins, because he's had pretty good success against this Saints team.
Yeah, and again, don't write him off. You know, keep, you know. But as I told you when we were listening to the DA, like, this is a chance early. The phrase we'll use is bury them. This is a chance early to bury them. You beat the Falcons here. They play the Bucs the next week on a short week. They play the Bucs Thursday night football. They lose that. They're, what, 0-2 in divisional, and we're 2-0 at that point.
Right.
And I think the Bucs would be, what, 1-0 because they haven't played the Panthers or anything like that. So it's like there's a chance that, you know, at the very – we talk at length about how, like, 4-2 might win you the division divisionally. Like, going 5-0 or 5-1 and 6-0 is, like, kind of hard. It's even in your best years, it's hard to, you know, sweep it. And if the Falcons are already 0-2, like, their peak can be 4-2, if not worse. And that's a good thing.
Get those Falcons recipes ready for Sunday. Any kind of bird on the plate for dinner. We'll be back with more sports talk, taking a break, and be right back after this on WWL. It's Steve with Cullen today as we get ready for Saints football on Sunday in the ATL. Happy to welcome in now brand manager of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Mike Conti. How you been, Mike? How's it going today?
Hey, Steve. Good to hear your voice again. How have you been?
Hanging in there, man. One question I want to ask you right off the bat. Have you heard any updates of what's going on with the hurricane approaching? Obviously, Florida expected to affect the Atlanta area a little bit, and there's concerns already now. Is there going to be any kind of delay in the Saints game on Sunday in Atlanta against the Falcons?
No, I mean, unless the stadium were damaged, the storm is supposed to be way out of here by then. I think they're saying it's going to be out of here by noon on Friday. So unless there was some kind of catastrophe with the stadium being damaged or power not being restored or something like that, I would say if you have plans to come up here this weekend for the game, you should keep them. I would be very, very surprised if anything happened that would cause a delay in the game. Although the local TV weather people are doing their darndest to try to scare the heck out of everyone up here. I will say that.
Yeah, that always seems to happen. I got a message from one of my buddies in Florida was texting me, "Oh, your game on Sunday might end up getting pushed back or put on Monday." And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on?
No, zero talk of that here in Atlanta. Absolutely none. That is, I'm glad to put that rumor to bed right now. No talk of that.
Thank you for debunking that for me. Looking at this Dirty Bird team, man, the Falcons coming in with a new quarterback this year has been all the rage, and obviously didn't look so hot early on, Kirk Cousins, but man, oh man, the fourth quarter of that game against the Eagles and going forward, Kirk Cousins has looked like he's gotten into a little bit of a groove.
Yeah, I think every week he's getting a little healthier. He's getting a little more confident. He was coming off a very serious injury, an Achilles injury that I think the Falcons and Cousins tried their best to downplay in the offseason. They did not play him in the preseason, not a snap. They limited fan access to training camp. The access that we got in the media to training camp was rather basic, and what we saw Kirk Cousins do in training camp looked very routine and ordinary, but we didn't really see him doing much out of the pocket. And I think what we've learned in 3 weeks is that Cousins really still can't work his way out of the pocket, and opposing defenses aren't honoring the possibility of a quarterback sneak or a bootleg, which is one of the reasons why I think they lost the game Sunday night to Kansas City. They had a 3rd-and-1 and a 4th-and-1 late where they were driving for what would have been the game-winning touchdown. And they did not sneak it on either play. And I think Kansas City knew that they would not sneak it on either play because there's still questions about Cousins' mobility. So Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator here in Atlanta, Steve, got a lot of criticism after the week one loss to Pittsburgh that maybe the offense was too predictable. It was not dynamic enough. He needed to put Cousins under center more. He's done a little bit more of that now, but I think he's a little bit tied up in the limitations that Cousins has with his mobility, and also the fact now that the Falcons are probably going to be without 40% of their starting offensive line on Sunday.
Yeah, we know about those O-line issues here as well. Eric McCoy needing surgery. We got Cesar Ruiz dealing with a knee issue right now. But you mentioned that, obviously, Drew Dahlman out, the center over there as well. So two new starting centers will be in action on Sunday. And I know, what, Caleb McGarry is also questionable for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he practiced today. That's not usually a good sign. If he can't practice on Wednesday and potentially on Thursday, that doesn't bode well necessarily for Sunday, although, again, some Falcons fans would point to the fact that McGarry has struggled a little bit this year. But it's interesting to me, having watched New Orleans against Philadelphia on Sunday and obviously having covered these first three Falcons games, this one feels a little bit different to me coming up on Sunday, Steve, because I think the defenses are going to kind of set the tone for this game as opposed to these battles that we've had in prior years, Breeze versus Ryan, and both teams just moving the ball up and down on each other, and some of the high-scoring games that we've seen in primetime games at the Superdome in recent years. The Falcons' defense is really much improved, and I know so much of the attention outside of Atlanta has been cast upon Kirk Cousins and now Bijan Robinson and Drake London and all these offensive players that the Falcons have used first-round picks on the last couple of years. But Terry Fondo, the Falcons general manager, was really, really savvy at the end of training camp, being able to move things around and bring in Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. And this Falcons defense, for the first time in, I don't know, probably at least 8 years, maybe more, is starting to show the ability to get to the quarterback and be very, very stout against the pass. They've been beaten up a little bit in the run game, but I think part of that has to do with the opponents they have played. Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were able to run the ball in Atlanta, and I think you guys in New Orleans are aware of the very unique problems that Saquon Barkley can cause, and obviously the Falcons had a lot of issues with that 2 weeks ago in that Monday night game. So to me, it just feels like there is a setup for this to be a much more defensively oriented, lower scoring game than what we are usually accustomed to seeing, Steve, when the Falcons play the Saints. You know me, I mean, I was with you guys in 2006, and I remember in 2006, 2007, these tended to be low scoring games, especially 2007 when neither the Saints nor the Falcons were very good. I think it's going to feel a lot more like that than some of the shootouts we saw in 2016 and 2017.
Gotcha. Yeah, you mentioned in that defense. Curious how a guy like Caden Ellis is doing. I know he leads the team in tackles, but stats don't always tell you everything. That doesn't mean, obviously, he's being this dominant force on the team. But just curious how he's been performing, how Ellis has been looking.
I think it's been very good. I think, again, the front seven has done a really, really good job at establishing a pass rush and making the Falcons essentially a very, very difficult team to throw against. There's another element that's kind of in play with this game, too, and it starts defensively for Atlanta. And Caden Ellis didn't say this today, but a couple other players in the open locker room period did on this Falcons defense. That little stunt at the end of the game last January where the Saints went into victory formation and Jameis ran a play and they got a touchdown at the end of the game to kind of run up the score, that has not been forgotten among members of the Falcons defense. And it was mentioned a couple times today. And as if, you know, look, this rivalry has plenty of emotion to begin with. You don't need to manufacture emotion for this rivalry game to be special. But I did think it was interesting to hear a couple defensive players on the Falcons bring that up today. You know, whether it lingers into Sunday, whether it has any kind of effect on what we see, who knows. But I think that's just one more piece of evidence that this is going to be a physical, potentially chippy game. And if it's a physical, chippy game, you would expect Caden Ellis to be right in the middle of it.
Now, if we're talking physical and chippy, if Kirk Cousins is able to, you know, withstand that pocket collapsing as we all anticipated doing for both teams, he's got a couple guys in that receiving core that are shining, with the biggest names being Kyle Pitts and Drake London. But right now, the star, and I love to hear it, Darnell Mooney, Tulane local around here, woohoo.
Terry Fonda knows about those Tulane Green Wave.
He is cooking. 169 on the season so far, leading the team. But here's the real catch. Yards after catch, the big yak that Bobby always likes to talk about. You got Ray McLeod III with 35, Kyle Pitts at 36, mm-hmm. Drake London at 39, Mooney's at 79.
That's such a great observation by you, and it's absolutely true. I think he's been one of the really pleasant surprises on this offense this year. I think there's been some impatience here in Atlanta. When is Kyle Pitts finally going to show himself to be the top 10 pick that he was a couple years ago? When is it really going to come together for Drake London, and he's going to show himself as the top 10 pick he was a couple years ago? And as you mentioned, they've been solid, but Mooney has really stolen the show. And the yards after catch statistic, I think, is a really, really intelligent thing for you to bring up, because what we have not really seen to this point is Cousins take downfield shots, with one or two exceptions. It feels like Zach Robinson is calling short to intermediate passes. And maybe, again, this is part of the physical limitations that Cousins has right now and his ability or inability to push off. But Mooney being more of a possession receiver who can turn a short to intermediate round into something big has really, really been helpful to the Falcons here in the first 3 weeks. And that was a really big off-season pickup for Terry Fontenot. A lot of the attention went to Rondale Moore, who got hurt in training camp. Mooney has been a very, very pleasant surprise and a great addition to this Falcons offense.
Mikey, definitely be looking forward to this matchup on Sunday. Appreciate your time. Have a good one, and be talking to you soon.
Looking forward to it, guys. As always, good talking to you.
Mike Conti, brand manager of Sports Radio 92.9, The Game in Atlanta. You can check out his stuff there. Also follow my Twitter, at MikeConti929. Steve Geller, Cullen Steele coming back with more of Sports Talk right after this. We'll hear from quarterback Derek Carr on WWL right after this. What's up, everyone? Tomorrow on Sports Talk, me and Mike Dettillier will be at The Game Bar and Grill. That's inside the Treasure Chest Casino. Come hang out with us while you enjoy some grub and do some gambling. We'll be talking Tigers with Zach Nagy of Sports Illustrated 520. What do these LSU team need to do before the bye week? What do you want to see from these Tigers? At 625, Falcons beat writer D. Orlando Ledbetter will give us the latest on the Dirty Birds before Sunday's NFC South clash. And then stick around for Thursday Night Football at 7. The New York Giants host the Dallas Cowboys on WWL and the Odyssey app. We are gearing up for the Falcons Sunday in Atlanta. And we talked about it. We can say it. Atlanta Hate Week is in full effect. for sure. Derek Carr getting acclimated to this rivalry. He talked today to the media. Here's some clips of what he had to say as the black and gold get ready for the Dirty Birds, especially without his center, Eric McCoy.
You know, with Eric being out, how did that affect what you guys want to do offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I always say it, man, you can't just replace somebody, you know, but other guys have to have roles and other guys got to pick up, you know, some of their stuff to, you know, help, help whoever's in their plan. And so, you can't, just, get rid of Eric McCoy and, replace him with somebody. We're praying for Eric and wish him a speedy recovery and all those kind of things for him and his family. But, you know, we have a job to do, and our guys, they came to work today with a purpose. I think the intensity and the mindset, and the realization of the situation was important to our guys, and it was nice to see.
When you just, like, from the naked eye, the snaps from Lucas Patrick seemed, I don't know if they were, like, fluttery or a little bit off when he first took over, which is he's moving to a new position. How important, it's obviously important, but, like, finding that synergy and that sync with somebody new that you haven't worked with in a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, there's, I always say this about our coaching staff. They do a great job of mixing that stuff up during practices, too, So, even when, you don't see things, I'm over there always getting snaps with every center because I've been in this league where we've gotten to our third, fourth center, you just got to be ready. So there is a learning curve, but you hope that takes place in the OTAs and the training camp portion so that when that time does come, boom, it's right back to that little battle rhythm and things like that. So I didn't really notice like a difference, and sometimes, when you're playing, you're reading stuff, you don't even notice anyway. But for me, I didn't notice. I thought he came in and it was pretty good.
Hey, Derek, most of your targets have gone to Chris, Rasheed, Alvin. Obviously, they're the top players, so you want to get them involved. But how important is it as the season goes along just to try and get other people involved? What does that do for an offense?
Yeah, it's really been interesting because, we felt like we had really balanced plans, especially the first 2 weeks. But just how the games went, it ends up just, now you're running the clock out and that kind of stuff. And some guys maybe don't get as many targets as they probably would have. And, we really haven't thrown the ball a lot, in attempts. And so, when there's not as many attempts, the targets for, guys that maybe aren't first or second in the read go down. And, that's football. So I think it is important. I think you're right. I think it is important to make sure we spread it to everybody to where the defense knows that, I'll make sure that everyone will touch the football. But at the same time, you've walked that fine line of you got to get your guys the ball too, that are, number one and number two in those reads.
How good is their safety duo, Bates and Simmons, just back there?
They're unbelievable. I played both of them for years now. Jesse's a great player. Like you saw last year, he just left. He left the middle of the field and went and picked off a choice route on the other side of the field, he has that ability and he has that talent. And so you have to be ready for that, have a plan for that. And then Justin, I've played for years in Denver, he knows how I feel about him. I think the world of him, not only as a player, but more importantly as a person. I think he's, if you're a kid and you want to learn how to play safety and you want to root for two guys, I'd root for those two guys because they're great people. We played, Jesse in the playoffs, and after the game, I come out and he's sitting there talking to my kids for 10 minutes. That's the type of people they are. And then you watch them and the type of players that they are, just outstanding talents, but even better people.
That was Saints quarterback Derek Carr as the black and gold are in preparations for a Sunday noon kickoff in Atlanta. You heard from Mike Conley too. Anybody talking about any concerns over the hurricane that's approaching, affecting Atlanta? It'll be cleared out by then. And unless there's any kind of severe damage to their dome, it'll be a game on Sunday kickoff. And of course, right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Definitely interested to see the biggest thing's going to be for this offensive line, obviously dealing with a new center in the mix, and it'll probably be Lucas Patrick being the guy who came in as a fill-in role. He'll have a whole week to have that game prep at least to get ready for Sunday. But then it becomes who is now going to be over at guard, taking over for Patrick.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a Nick Saldiveri? Is it going to be an Ali Udo?
Deuce was talking with us earlier about it. He was kind of like, you don't really expect them to change up too much. I think they'll just make, they wouldn't, like, who ended up filling for center last week? I'm blanking so hard.
At center, it was Lucas Patrick.
I think you would see, and he was coming from, I want to get the name right, guard,
right.
Yeah, so Deuce was saying, you might just make him move back and Lemieux would move up to center.
Interesting. Okay, they just brought him up actually from the practice squad.
The argument would be somewhere along the lines of, you wouldn't want you wouldn't want Shane to also be like learning a second role.
So you're trying to keep it consistent.
You would keep it consistent with regards to like, instead of having like two people cover multiple things, you're like, okay, I'm just going to have Patrick, who I know is good at guard, stay at guard. And we'll just have one person worry about learning. We'll have one person learning about how to ride the bike. Then
switching
two
one
people.
Position instead of two.
Instead of two. And it's like, you might get
rationale.
More from Patrick at center than Shane, but you might get more from Patrick at guard than him being at center. It's a balancing act. That's the end of the day.
Yeah, I guess it'll be, too, how Lemieux does this week at practice in the snaps he gets at center, because there were some rough ones during the preseason, as I recall.
He also mentioned Landon Young. He was, you know, kind of a healthy scratch last week. Like, he was healthy by the time the game started Sunday, but didn't practice throughout the week, so he kind of didn't really want to get him too much into that. Obviously, I'm hoping he'll be a big part come next week, because at the end of the day, like, I think apart from Fuaga and Penning, it's really going to be, at least for that guard and that center, it's going to be best man up. It's going to be who is showing up, you got the spot.
No, I'm going to have to go back and listen to more of Deuce McAllister. As we know, obviously knows a ton about football, but definitely knows everything about this black and gold squad. So him saying Shane Lemieux at center, I didn't even think that would be a possibility, but it makes sense with the Saints bringing him up into the mix.
Good listen. Double down. Listen
go
back
check
to
check it out at WWL.com. I'll be on the on-demand app as well.
Hey, I might have gotten names mixed up, but the premise was basically that he was like, look, I don't want these guys doing too much and like overdoing it. Like, if they're good at something, leave them there and have the new guy who's gonna be in something new regardless of where you put him, have him be the one to step up, so that, you know, if a ball gets dropped, it's by one person and not two.
You see, like, the last 2 weeks on the Saints broadcast, Deuce has basically been like football Nostradamus.
Are
predicting Saints
me?
Plays.
Are you kidding? Like, that's incredible. I keep telling my dad, I'm telling my dad this. He's like, does Deuce like know things? And I was like, no, he's good.
What he sees and, you know, goes through his computer upstairs and he's like, I think this should happen right now. We're going to take a break. We're closing things out as we get ready for the On Listening special right here on WWL coming up at 7, closing out Sports Talk after this. So stay tuned on WWL. Wrapping up today's edition of Sports Talk. Coming up, we have got a special from Odyssey coming on the line. You can join Odyssey and WWL as they take a deep dive into all matters mental health. That's coming up at 7 o'clock. It's called I'm Listening, hosted by Carson Daly, featuring Dr. Christine Moitier, Chief Medical Officer at the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, with appearances by stars like Keith Urban, Katy Perry, Usher, Dolly Parton, Dua Lipa, Hozier, and more. You can join us for a really important, meaningful conversation. That's tonight at 7 o'clock till 9, live and free on the Odyssey app, and of course, WWLAMFM.com. Going over the injury report one last time before we get on out of here for the Saints. Derek Carr, Taysom Hill were a full go, but were at least they were listed on the initial practice report of the week. Limited for the Saints, linebacker DeMarco Jackson dealing with a calf issue. Colin Saunders also limited with a calf, a defensive tackle. Offensive tackle Landon Young has a foot issue, was limited, and now your four did not practices today. Alante Taylor with an illness at corner. Linebacker DeMario Davis dealing with a hamstring issue. Right guard Cesar Ruiz with a knee issue. And then running back Alvin Kamara with hip and ribs. And, of course, Eric McCoy having surgery today. He is now on injured reserve and will definitely miss the next four games. So it's going to be an interesting battle against this Dirty Bird squad. We heard that their defense has been coming along. Haven't been able to get those sack numbers, thankfully, so the pass rush doesn't seem to be there. Make sure you join me and Mike D'Attelier tomorrow. We'll be at the Treasure Chest Casino starring 4 o'clock. Hope to see you out there on Williams Boulevard in Kenner. I'm Steve Geller for Cullen Steele. Have a great night, everybody, and talk to you later.